Hey, what's up, everyone? You're listening to the Man Reinvented Show. I'm your host, Scott Taylor. I'm a former door-to-door salesman who gave up a six-figure income that I earned in just 4 months out of the year to pursue my passion of making a bigger impact in the world. This is the podcast where I talk with amazing people making big changes to fulfill their deeper purpose. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome, everyone. This is Scott Taylor. This is the show Man Reinvented, and it is a great pleasure of mine. I've got an amazing friend of mine on, amazing guy. Everyone knows him, or everyone should know him, see him all over online. He's a 2 Comma Club X coach for Russell Brunson. He was Russell Brunson's funnel, like lead funnel builder. He's recently created his own thing called Offer Mind. It's a live event. Everyone can go attend. And also Offer Lab, which is kind of like his inner circle, I guess. So anyways, Stephen Larson.
Dude, thanks for having me, man. I've been looking forward to it.
Dude, it's so awesome to get you on here. So let's just get right into it. I know you're kind of quick on time. Let's just go back with your backstory and where we first met, I guess.
Yeah.
You were totally. First met. It was in that dinner in our recruiting office.
You know, it's, I did door-to-door sales actually before we met, probably like 3 or 4 years earlier. And I was like, oh, that was terrible. That was rough. And then as I started studying all these businesses and we were totally dead broke, I started realizing that one of the things I didn't have a skill set in was selling. And I was like, if I'm going to be an entrepreneur, I got to learn how to sell stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I can't remember who I was listening to. I think it was Robert Kiyosaki. And he's like, you need to learn how to go sell, go in the toughest, hardest environments. And I was like, I can't think of a tougher, harder environment to go learn sales in than door to door. And so I went and I told my wife, I was like, I want to go do door to door. And that's when we met in that pest control office.
That's right.
And that changed my life, man.
So you'd done pest control before that. I didn't realize that. So
security.
Oh, security. Okay. All right. Yeah. I remember we were sitting down. Ryan had just introduced us. He's like, you guys really get along well. And we started going back and forth. Yeah. I'm into real estate and stocks and investing. And I remember telling you back then, I was like, dude, the biggest be all end all is online business. Like it's my dream. I've got to figure this thing out someday, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, it was just so funny. And I remember being back in that recruiting office, like, you know, playing Call of Duty. And
ultimate recruiting tool, Call of Duty and pizza.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So anyways, well, Steve, kind of fast forward. Give us like a little quick show. Explain your journey, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny. Now. Well, I went and I did door to door with you guys. And, you know, because you and Ryan learned how to sell. And in the middle, I'm sure you remember, like the first half of the summer, I was doing really well and I was getting like shout outs and stuff. And then halfway through the summer, like the worst thing on planet Earth happened. And I started learning more about the product. It is a fantastic product.
Uh-huh. But
like, I started getting all techno babbly and just barfing on everybody. Like, whoa, does it kill bugs? And I'm like, yeah, and here's the chemical compounds and rah, 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 you know, just like
geeked out,
thinking that that was what with the you know, sell stuff. And it's not. And I got away from the fundamentals. And then I also, I started online. That's actually what got me online is I went and I started putting up little ads on classified sites for our pest control. And I had no idea I was breaking all these rules because it's pesticides. But my phone started blowing up with all these phone leads. And I was getting more sales from the phone, people calling in than me knocking.
Uh-huh.
And finally, I think the Department of Agriculture came and slapped me and they said, hey, you got to cut that out. And I was like, oh, I had no idea. Okay. Like, you know, I went and took it down, but like, it kind of ruined me a little bit. I was like, wait a second. What if there's people out there who already want it? Like, what if I went and I spoke to them online? And that's when I started getting the fascination of the internet. So the summer ended and I started writing eBooks and creating things and started learning how to drive traffic on the internet, a lot of it, and started working for some big companies driving their internet traffic, but it wasn't converting very well. And so I was in the middle of my college classes, in the middle of my internet marketing college classes. And they're like asking super, super, you know, lower level questions. And I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. And I told the professor that, and he's like, all right, well, go hold your own class. And I was like, all right, I will. So I left grabbed the other kid that looked like he was bored out of his mind, and we held our own class every day for 3 hours trying to sell as much as we could on the internet. And that's where we kind of, you know, got our feet wet for the first time and the first money ever came in. And I was like, this is
your first funnel. It was a landing page, right?
It was a little, yeah, for a little
affiliate product.
ClickBank, yeah. And then ended up finding out what sales funnels were, got into the Russell Brunson world, kind of took off from there, and then became Russell's funnel guy.
So crazy. Cool. Such an epic story. I mean, there's from like David, like, and like, it's like a David and Goliath type story. I mean, it's so epic.
Thanks.
So, well, that's amazing, man. So right now, I wanted to kind of ask you a few different questions. So obviously I'm targeting people that are like stuck in the job they hate.
Yeah.
They're realizing they want to make a change, a huge change in their life, and ultimately transition and take their skills and take them online. Right. So in that light, what are the top three things you would tell someone that's wanting to move in that direction online, to start online?
Yeah.
Just starting out, knowing nothing. Totally,
yeah. The first thing I would say is don't quit your job. Like, I see several people, they're like, I'm going to go all in. And to them, all in means leaving. I wouldn't do that until you have like sustainable cash flow. So the second thing I hear from people when I tell them that then is they're like, well, I don't have time to go build this because I work for somebody else. And my answer to that is that stress creates good systems. And so when I was in college, you know, I was in the Army. I was full-time student, married with kids. I mean, I was doing everything I could to just squeak out like an hour, two, maybe three a day. And for me just to try and build my dream. And even when I graduated college and started working for somebody else, albeit Russell Brunson, I still had to squeak out and get creative to go pull out a few hours a day. And so I'd wake up at 5 and I would go into his office at 6 a.m. and I'd work on my own stuff from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. And then on his stuff from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then I'd go put my kids to sleep, hang out with the fam for an hour, and then work again from 10 to midnight and then sleep 5 hours, wake up. And I did that for the first like 8 months. And on top of doing it during school. And it's because you do need some time with it. And the thing is that like, when you have such confines, you get creative. It's actually a blessing, you know? So some people will be like, well, I can't do it because I work for somebody else. Or I can't do it because I'm a student. Or I can't do it because this constraint, I don't have any money or whatever. You end up learning it to these depths that people with money don't. So you actually get better. It's actually a superpower. It's a blessing, not a hindrance. So I'd say the first thing is don't quit your job, but work with the confines you have and you'll actually get better. That's probably a longer answer than you might be looking for.
No, that's great. That's great. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there. I heard a statistic, like 85% of people out there hate their job. They hate where they're stuck in their career. And I'm trying to inspire people that now is the best time ever to learn these skills and take them online. You know, yeah. So start, just do it. Just start. So just that's what I keep saying.
And it was funny.
I like, started this podcast out of just, I didn't even know what the crap I was doing. We were having some problem with my Zoom, but I'm just starting. So I'm just trying to take massive action.
I totally love it. You know, and the second thing, just to answer that also, is like, I spent probably the first 3 years, it took me 17 tries to finally get a business to work. And over 5 years, you know, I just wanted it. And I wanted it really bad. And so, I mean, after a while, like you start questioning yourself, you're going to go through this weird thing where you start asking yourself, like, if you really believe it. Because
mm-hmm.
you know? It's not, Seth Godin has this really cool principle called the dip. And in that book, The Dip, he says that when we start to learn anything new, there's this excitement. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting. It's cool. And I feel a sense of motion and I'm progressing. But then pretty soon, like you've learned the easy skills that were easy to master. And so you plateau. And there's this time period where you don't feel like you're progressing and you don't feel like you're learning any new talent. And if you can endure that, pretty soon you get to that next hill where you feel that next dip, you know, that next thing where I'm progressing again. Oh my gosh, it's exciting. And he's like, you can simply measure someone's success based on the number of plateaus and dips they've endured. But the trick is to push through those times where you don't feel like you're progressing. So there was tons of times. I mean, especially through those first 16 tries before I finally got one to work. Holy crap. Like the mental resilience that forced me to build. Most will never experience that because most can't hack it.
Yeah. So
if you know, it's coming and like, hey, I'm going to go leave my job or whatever. Like, and you know, so I'm just trying to let you know, like, expect that. Cause when it happens, you're like, okay, I'm not feeling a sense of progression. I can't tell. Hindsight's 2020, but I'm not moved far enough in the future to even look back. Like, you got to have a little grit in those moments. The third thing I'd say to somebody who's thinking about doing it is, I spent a lot of time, probably the first 2 years, trying to answer the question, what should I sell? What should I sell? What should I sell? The success, I have to have an amazing product in order for me to go have a lot of money. And it's actually, it's, you should have a good product, but that's not why people buy. And I never, ever, ever stopped to answer the question. Like, don't ask, what should I sell? That question comes like number 99. What I didn't understand is the first question you have to ask and get crazy clear on is, who do I want to sell? And then when you get that down, like, I want to stack all the cards in my favor, right? So I'm going to, who do I want to sell? I want to sell someone who has money because they're willing to part with it. I want to sell somebody who is willing to pay for expensive things. I want to sell somebody who is already in a sense of a little bit of pain or discomfort. So when they see my thing, I don't have to sell them as hard. You know what I mean? I want to, and I create a dream criteria. And dream, not a could be. Just because they have cash doesn't mean I should sell to them. I want the dream customer. And then what are they having problems with? And it's really easy to figure out what you sell once you know their problems, because you just create the solution. And handling that from that direction, like, massively altered the game for me. I spent so much time. It kind of became a whip. Why are you still broke? You know, what should he sell? What should he sell? How can we come up with an original idea? And I kind of beat myself with it. And
figure out the who.
Yeah, figure out the who, and then the what becomes really easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, have you read the recent book, Choose, by Ryan Levesque?
No, but I bought it. Yeah,
I bought it too. I got the audiobook. I'm gonna, next time I mow my lawn, that's the book I'm listening to. Super
excited. Yeah, exactly. So,
okay, I know we're short on time. One other thing I want to go in this interview is, you're a father. You're a husband. You have three beautiful girls. I'm a father. I have four kids. I just had my, you know, a 2-month-old baby and then three others. But dude, you're a father, you're a husband. What are some hacks that you do to keep those relationships going? Obviously, that's number one in your life. I know that just because I know you.
Yeah.
But what are some hacks you can tell people to kind of keep, you know, not balance, because there's no freaking balance when you're an entrepreneur. You got your business and you got your relationships. How do you manage those?
Yeah, I feel like balance is kind of a facade. So
absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like only the obsessed really make it anyway. So you got to just choose your obsession. I'd say that, like, the one thing I did, especially as my kids have gotten a little bit older, you know, the oldest is only 5, mm-hmm. but like, they're starting to get old, have memories now and things like that. And I want to be there. So when I first made the jump from my job, I told my wife, like, hey, look, I'm going to work weekends, evenings, pretty much the first month.
You're not going to see me much.
I'm sorry, but this is just, we got to make sure that we're not going to die in a gutter, you know? But once that initial, it was like the first 3 months, really. I didn't take a paycheck for a very long time. So I was putting all back in the business to make sure it survived, you know? So we lived off savings for a while, the beginning of last year. And then what I did is I started creating boundaries. I was like, okay, now that we have some sustainable cash flow coming in, let's create some rules. So I actually only work 9 to 5. Very rarely do I either get up crazy early or stay up really late. Only when it's like during launch periods or I'm kind of under the gun. But normally the norm is that it's 9 to 6, 6 o'clock. I'm downstairs with dinner with the fam, spend the rest of the evening with the family. And that's kind of it, you know? And then my wife and I were trying to get more in the habit of waking up and either working out together or something. And just more time. Weekends, I don't really work Saturdays ever anymore, you know, which is awesome. And so what I had to, some boundaries I've had to set for myself is just being completely okay with what I got done during the 9 to 6 and okay with what I didn't. Mm-hmm. That allows me to, you know, right now I work in my home office. We're getting an actual office soon, but when I pass through those doors, you know, and I shed capitalist pig, you know, warrior guy, and I take off my business hat and I put on my father and husband hat, like, that's gotten easier. It's taken practice.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
It's super tough.
Sometimes you gotta just throw your phone across the room and just like leave it there.
Yeah. I'm here, right? I'm still not amazing at it, but that's what we've been doing.
Hey, We all can just keep trying. So yeah. What are some things you do with your kids that like, I guess specific things that you've started doing, I guess.
We started doing little daddy daughter dates, where it's just me and one of them. They love that. We started doing, I'm a playful guy. I heard one of the best teachers I had in college, he was like, playful people are more creative people. So he's like, if you think you need to be this adult that's all zipped up and boring and stuff, because I'm an adult and I got to be serious and professional. He's like, don't expect yourself to be that creative. And I was like, wow. Okay. So I'm playful on purpose. So in the evenings, I make sure to do actual play. Right. And so we run around and I play and I try to go full in on whatever it is. I've noticed the more childlike I can be in some of play, it's easier for me to have better ideas. So it actually serves me in the long run anyway. Plus my personality needs play, whatever that is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Those are some of the things I do. I just go full in with them.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. That's tough. But that when you actually do that, man, it really pays off. I try to cuddle with my kids every night.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, cool.
I put them to bed and spend 5-10 minutes cuddling.
Yeah.
Have a little pillow talk and I try to do that, but it's hard. It's hard when you're starting a new thing and you know, you have to focus a ton of time and energy to these online businesses when you're just starting.
And you're just starting it out. Yeah. Until they have a few systems in place. And yeah, we play a lot of tag. That's one of the things.
A lot of tag.
My girls love to chase me around the house.
Yeah. Hide and go seek is a fun one in our family. So, well, cool, man. I know you're short on time. How much more time do you have?
Just a few minutes. Yeah.
A few minutes. Okay. Well, what's the big one, I guess, domino statement from this interview that you would like to get out to my audience?
Actually, you know exactly what that is. I was in high school. I got mercy graduated from high school. You know, I got straight D's literally in all science, English, math, especially foreign language. I got A's in everything extracurricular because a lot of it was just show up stuff. and I got mercy graduated, and I know that, and the teachers knew that, and I showed up and I gave a lot of effort. I just sucked at math though, man. I'm just not anyway. I was 35% body fat. I had a double chin. I was working on a triple, and I got kicked out of college my first semester because I got pretty much straight F's and I had to wait 4 years to kind of go back. I was working with a counselor for a while and he's like, basically helped me know I have ADHD. Not exclusively. He's like, but you have a lot of symptoms of it. And I was like, what's the difference? Isn't that how you know? And, it was just like all these things and then we were broke and I couldn't feed my wife and like stuff was rough for a long time, man. And I hear a lot of times like, you know, these are things that I had to learn along the way, but there's a lot of times where those were all individual reasons why I told myself I wasn't worthy for the goal. I'm not good enough because of ADHD, right? And it became a whip. I'm not good enough because I can't come up with an original idea, having what product to sell. Boom, became a whip. We're broke and we'll always be broke, you know, and it became these things. And what's funny is like, there was this specific moment with each of those barriers in my life where I finally was like, enough, I'm sick of it. And those things all became strengths, and superpowers. And instead of I am unworthy because of, it became I'm worthy because of, and, it helped me. I like build myself more. I remember specifically like when I was trying to get to Russell's Funnel Hacking Live event, the first one ever that he did, I had no money. And so I was like, well, how can I afford it? And I started adapting more of these mentalities. How can I afford it? Cause I'm broke. So I traded these funnels for plane tickets, funnels for hotel nights. And I got there and I ended up getting 5 job offers. I was never planning on working for ClickFunnels. However much I do love it, you know, but as I got there and I started like, it was a whirlwind. A week later, I was sitting next to Russell building those funnels. I was like, why did this happen? You know, I'm really introspective. And I was like, why did this happen? And what's interesting is like, I was like, let's recap here, right? I had built a lot of funnels and they were successful and I just hadn't learned how to sell them yet. So I was making other people a lot of money, just not myself yet because I hadn't learned how to sell them. And I was building, you know, a lot of money objections I was trying to overcome. And I was sitting there and I was like, okay, so I'm still, you know, at that time I was like, I'm still a broke kid. I just got hired by the most amazing marketer on the planet and I'm sitting right next to him. Why did that happen? And I'm convinced 100% that I would not have worked for Russell Brunson if I had the cash to get to that first Funnel Hacking Live event. The fact that I didn't have the money made me go do things and learn this stuff at a depth that most will never learn because they had the money. And so every time somebody says to me, I can't because in a job, don't have cash, don't have the attention span, I have this, this label, that label, this acronym, whatever. They have to understand that it's actually their gift. And when they can sit back and start thinking to themselves like, oh my gosh, how could I use this for the advantage of others and actually go bless lives? You find out that you're really quickly able to do things that most are not equipped to go do. It's not in their natural wheelhouse. So I keep a coin on my desk, right? The obstacle is the way.
Love this.
And it's freaking incredible. And it means so much to me because I was broke. I was overweight. I lost tons of weight. I went and I did like, it's pretty amazing. On the back, it says the impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. And so whatever those barriers are, you start to realize, and it melts the fear of failure because you start to realize, holy crap, failure is not actually very real. There's like success and learning. That's really it. And it actually starts to drop these chains that a lot of times we've been given. So you can just move. And so the biggest lesson I was trying to tell everybody, like we could dive deep into all the nerdy marketing stuff and it's so much fun, but no one executes a thing of it if they can't overcome their own junk and realize that all the stuff that they've been doing and all the reasons they feel like they can't be successful are the very reasons they will be followed in the future if they just flip that in their head. And obstacles away. That's what I'd say.
That's beautiful, man. I love that. Well, I think our time is up, Stephen. You bring so much value to this marketing online business world.
Thanks.
Everyone freaking loves you, dude. So if everyone wants to go check out his stuff, go to Secret MLM Hacks Radio, which is his podcast, or the website, right? SecretMLMHacks.com. So, but Stephen, thank you so much, man, for being on. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, dude. You're the man.
Yeah.
Everyone listen to Scott.
Well, you have a good one, man.
Hey, you too.
We'll see you.